Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoy the program. John Cleary with you, around Australia through Radio Australia and via the web to the world. Mark Rocks is a recent attendee at a conference in Darwin on education in Australia. Mark brings a unique view to a debate that's been raging through this country. His website, Reality Bites, tells us a little bit about the man as a storyteller, but also as an educationalist. Mark Rocks, welcome to Sunday Night.
It's good to be here.
We've heard a bit over the recent weeks in Australia the way in which there's been some concern in England about the possibility of religious education being removed or diluted in the syllabus of schools in England because a new international baccalaureate is being set up which doesn't have religion included in the syllabus. The first question, Mark, because it does bear tangentially on discussions here in Australia, is why religion should be in a syllabus.
Well, I think it's essential because I think what we need is what I call worldview awareness. And just to get clear about that, I was once teaching a class and I talked about two tyrants who had engaged in massacres. And one of them was Genghis Khan. I'm sure you've heard of Genghis Khan. And another man was a king and he basically became a Christian. And after he became a Christian, he stopped massacring people and he was in a battle. And at the end of the battle, he told all his troops to basically lay down their arms. And all the enemy troops went away. And when they came back, they discovered their wives and children completely unharmed, having a picnic on the beach. And I told these two stories to this class. And this boy stood up and said very aggressively, "Mr. Rock, I like Genghis Khan because he was true to himself." And I thought to myself, you know, somebody who is engaging in horrible kind of cruel practices is being true to themselves. And when I probed that boy, he was completely uncritical of this assertion that he should be true to himself. And I believe one of the functions, one of the uses of a good RE is to make people aware of the worldviews that often they have without being able to critically engage with it. And I meet lots of young people who have all kinds of beliefs which they just spout and they just say, and they're not able to have any critical distance upon those beliefs. And I believe that RE should be helping people to actually engage with the real beliefs they have and to be critically distant from them.
But you're saying more than that, though. You're implying it just in the very nature of that story you gave us, that there is a value judgment to be made between belief systems and that for you, Christianity is one that recommends itself.
Absolutely, yes, I do. And I think that many people in England reject the Christian faith, and it's because they've absorbed other beliefs, particularly consumerist beliefs. And I think that one of the tasks of the great process of education is to make people aware of this Western story. I call this consumerism. It's the idea that life is, I shop, therefore I am. In England, it's Tesco, ergo sum. I don't know if you have a Tesco over here. But for many people today, life can easily be reduced to buying and selling, but they're not able to understand that this is a worldview, it's a story, and people live in this story. And to give you a very simple example of this, a few years ago, a woman aged 26 married a billionaire called Howard Marshall, who was 89 years of age. And I wish I could show your listeners a picture of this young, beautiful woman in a marriage ceremony with a very old man. And it was clear that she was marrying him because it was just a contract. She saw marriage as a contract. And I think that if you believe marriage is simply something that we do to, as it were, gain financial gain, I think that's a whole way of looking at life that I call consumerist. And as I say, I believe that religious education needs to teach people about this hidden consumerism that shapes many, many people in the Western world.
If a lifestyle is satisfying to the individual, the argument would go, does it matter what lifestyle it is, so long as the individual finds that lifestyle fulfilling?
Well, I think it does matter, because I think that if you start to believe that everything can be made into a commodity, I think it leads to a very, very broken society. I mean, recently in America, there was a girl who wants to be a marriage and family therapist who was auctioning her virginity for about £2 million.
and she was actually selling herself. And there were websites that were effectively saying, this girl is a commodity and she is selling herself. Well, I think there is a whole way of looking at life there that we need to be critical of. And in Christian language, it's a kind of idolatry of the economic. And I think that people need to be thinking about those issues. And I think if you haven't, as it were, thought about these issues, you haven't been educated, and there's a kind of indoctrination going on. And I believe that in England, actually, many young people leave schools what I call born-again consumerists. And what I mean by that is they just assume that life is about making as much money as you can, and then you die. You know, you get toys, you die. Well, that view of life, I actually think, is very destructive of society, and I think that we need to be critical of it.
Many people would trace that ideology of the economic back to a Christian root, though. They would say that this comes directly out of the loss of the communitarian ethic in Christianity that begins with Calvin and has been articulated by historians and philosophers from Max Weber on through R.H. Tawney, religion and the rise of capitalism, and the idea that the individual is important and that it's about the salvation of the individual, and that salvation gets translated from the heavenly spheres to the earthly spheres, and hence you have consumerism. Margaret Thatcher's there is no such thing as society.
Well, I'm familiar with the argument, but I think you are confusing a very individualistic kind of secularism with the Christian faith. If you study the Bible carefully, there's a very strong critique of mammon. Paul talks about greed as being a kind of idolatry. Back in the Old Testament, there is this strong teaching about cancelling debts every 7 years, restoring people to land every 50 years. There's a very strong sense in the biblical story that enough is enough. It isn't a story that encourages you to be ascetic, but it doesn't, as it were, encourage people to be very greedy. So, I think that the Bible is a story about the earth. It's a story about the world that God loves. We are allowed to enjoy things like wine and good food. But when we make an idol of the economic, I mean, Jesus is very, very clear about this. He says you cannot worship both God and money. And that is a fascinating view of religion, the idea that money can be an object of religious veneration. And I think that it's a very bankrupt, it's, if you want, a pagan religion.
That may be your view, but it nevertheless is the case, and I guess you could go to America to see this sort of borne out, that there are Christian traditions in America, particularly some on the evangelical fundamentalist side, which would elevate capitalism and particularly the free market as almost a religious ideology that is linked directly back in their minds to this individual salvation.
Yeah, and I think the problem we have there is that, are you aware that there was a man who once lived on a pillar for 37 years? His name was Simeon Stylites, and he claimed to be a Christian, John. But you have to discern that there's another worldview that has, as it were, mugged the Christian faith. And one of the problems is that other worldviews, this might be a Greek view or a capitalist view, have often taken over the Christian story. And so, in fact, the woman I was mentioning, Anna Nicole Smith, who, you know, effectively was entering into a contract with this very old man to kind of get his money, she, on a television program, John, claimed to be a born-again Christian. And yet her lifestyle, her worldview, the actual story that she was living in was consumerist. So I think one of the things I want to encourage is what I call worldview awareness. And worldview awareness makes you discerning about when people mix together two worldviews. And I think in America, there are many Christians who have just basically accommodated to consumerism. And I think the prosperity teaching is an example of, you know, 90% consumerism and 10% Christianity.
It does indicate, I guess, the very point you're making, that there has been a singular lack of one dimension of Christian education, and that is its, to use a broad term, its civilizational aspect, that is its link to the way societies construct themselves. There has been a strong emphasis, perhaps 50, 60, 100 years, on Christianity as an individual thing. You're suggesting that this needs to be rebalanced.
Well, I think if you look at one of my heroes is George Cadbury. I'm sure you, John, have tasted his chocolate. He was a Quaker of a kind of evangelical disposition. And his factory was a fabulous place to be because at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he would go in sometimes and he would just say to everyone, let's all go and play cricket. and the whole factory would troop outside and they'd all play cricket. And on one occasion, he and his brother Richard, they took all 11 wickets. People say, why 11? But they went to the very last person. Sometimes he would actually take a football into his factory and he would go up to a group of men who looked bored and say, here's a football, go outside and play football. And I think that's a kind of attractive kind of Christianity where it wasn't individualistic, but it wasn't a kind of utopian socialism. He was just saying, look, business doesn't have to be cutthroat. Business can be something that honors God, is loving, is generous, and is also fun. In 1906, he put £60,000 of his own money, John, into the pension funds of all his employees. And his life was just littered with these kinds of good deeds. In England, we haven't only got the ashes, but we have people like Cadbury and many other philanthropists who had this kind of Quaker Christian worldview. And I think that's a very attractive worldview. And I think that is a much more authentic kind of Christian faith.
The difficulty is, of course, that we may be beyond the period where that sort of worldview can any longer hold sway. That is, we are beyond the reach of Christendom.
And you know why that is? That's because of what I call the logic of secularism. By secularism, John, I mean the view that we live as if there is no God. And that view, the fact that we live as if there's no God, in my view, is what has led to this very aggressive individualism. Because if there is no God, there are just individuals. And so what should individuals do? The answer is consume, because the aim of life is to have happiness, and we understand that in purely economic terms. I think secularism is, as it were, the reason for this kind of meaningless, individualistic consumerism. I don't believe it's the Christian faith. The Christian faith has a very strong sense of a social responsibility, a sense that enough is enough. I'm going to give you an example. In Italy, a few years ago, there's a wonderful footballer called Damiano Tomasi who got injured. He played for Roma, and the club said to him, do you want an ordinary contract, maybe make £8,000 a week? And this man said, no, I want you to pay me the minimum wage. And they paid him £1,000 a month, and he became a national hero of Italy, and his story is never, ever told. But to me, he is living in this story of the Christian story of enough is enough. I don't need millions and millions of pounds. I have enough. And I think we need role models, John, who have got some kind of virtue. And I think that virtue comes from this Christian teaching of love God and love your neighbour.
You're on Sunday Night on ABC Radio. Our guest is Mark Rocks, author of the website, or master of the website, Reality Bites. We can find all sorts of resources on education. And Mark Rocks is in Australia talking about education, particularly in Christian schools. And we're having a chat about the importance of Christianity and why religious education should remain in the syllabus. Mark, let's talk about education in schools, particularly religious education. The debate in Australia is, why is religious education important? Why should some people have it? You've given us a little explanation as to that. The other argument that's introduced here is, well, why don't kids just get an education in philosophy or ethics or whatever else? That we buy this idea that there has to be a framework through which you live your life. But why should one allow a particular religious tradition to dominate? You say that Christianity is the way that you find gives greatest meaning to life, but others could say Buddhism is, others could say Islam is. You know, we're in a competitive religious marketplace here.
One of the most shocking stories I've ever heard of is, you know, the story of the Columbine killers, John. What people don't know is that Eric Harris, who was one of these killers, wrote in his diary, "Only maths and physics are true. Everything else is made by humans." Now, that is a view that I can explain as comes from certain philosophers like Thomas Hobbes and David Hume. I've done many, many conferences, John, in England, where I've done sixth form conferences where I encourage people to think about their beliefs. And I find they're incredibly uncritical about that particular view, which we call logical positivism. Only science is true. And so people will spout these things, you know, you've got to believe, you know, it's only true if you can prove it, that kind of language. And when you start to push them, they're just unaware of the implications of where this view actually goes. And I think it's actually very, it ends up with a kind of nihilism. And so I believe that actually many Christians in schools imbibe this view. And I once had the experience of teaching in a Catholic school. Do you know, this, one of the girls I thought was the most devout Catholic, when I actually probed her and really got her to tell me what she believed, her worldview was just like the Columbine killers, that only scientific facts are real and morals is simply up to you. Do you get my point? That what's going on in schools is there's a kind of indoctrination, but it isn't an indoctrination into the Christian faith. It's an indoctrination into what I call different kinds of secular religions. I'll give you an example. I love Talk Sport in England. It's all about a football program. And one of the presenters once said, I could never get married because if I got married, I couldn't be true to myself. And that person has just absorbed a kind of romantic worldview which basically assumes that human beings should be completely autonomous. So in England, I believe many young people are being indoctrinated either into this idea that only science gives you the truth, and that leads to kind of darkness and nihilism, or the idea that I am completely autonomous, I am a law unto myself. And if you look at a lot of the English football team and how they behave, they are living out this religion of autonomy.
Yes, and this takes us back to the point we were discussing before, that it throws a special weight on the religious community to get a message straight that is coherent for the world. Because quite often you're going to get religious communities, particularly Christian ones, who go into schools poorly educated, and if they're delivering RE, don't deliver the sort of RE you're talking about. They don't deliver one that embraces a comprehensive worldview, and in some ways a historical worldview that says that we've built a civilization on these values, and you pull them out, and something goes wrong with the civilization.
My approach is very different. Can I say that what I do is I take stories. For example, in England, Jordan is a very, very famous model. I don't know if your listeners will have heard of her. But there are people in England who basically spend a lot of money on plastic surgery to look like this woman. And there's a tragic story of a woman who's in her, I think, 20s, who spent £30,000 in order to have cosmetic surgery so she can look like this woman, Jordan. And she said, and I quote, "When I look in the mirror, I feel like crying because I'm in debt to the tune of £30,000, but I am becoming more like my idol, Jordan, every day." And I think there's something tragic about that story because she's living in what I call an extremely advanced form of consumerism, and yet she's completely unaware of the fact that she's living in a story. She's living in a very deeply individualistic and secular way of living, and there is a great cost to it. Consider a girl in Leeds who killed herself, and she wrote in her diary, "I'm killing myself because I am fat and ugly." That girl came from a very devout Christian family. Do you see my point, John?
So what's lacking in her teaching, in her education, in her Christian formation, in her religious formation?
Well, I want to challenge both Christians and secular people. I think a lot of education is not always, but it doesn't give what I call this worldview awareness. And worldview awareness is being able to understand the hidden beliefs that shape the way you live.
It's part of the problem, Mark, that the church has forgotten how to deal with the world. It actually has spent so long dealing with itself and its own internal stresses and strains, particularly as church numbers have declined. People have looked inwards and said, what's wrong in here? What's wrong out there? And, and they've actually, there's been some slippage, a disconnect with the world and what's happening in the world. And in some ways now it's become a defensive retreat from the world.
I think that's right. And people like myself, we talk about this as being the problem of dualism. This is the problem that says we divide life into church and the rest is just somehow not important. And I think there are many churchgoers who just see the Christian life as being about church. And it's very introverted. It's very inward looking, John. Do you see what I'm saying? Whereas the story of George Cadbury, which I outlined for you, is a wonderfully exciting and imaginative story about a real person serving God in business, making chocolate, playing cricket, having a wonderful time, treating people with humour, with delight. In many ways, the Cadbury story gives us a sense of the biblical story of Israel. Israel in the Old Testament was meant to be a light to the nations. It was meant to be outward looking. And the idea was, if the people are faithful to the covenant, if they're obeying the laws of the Jubilee, of debt cancellation, they would have no poverty. They would have no environmental destruction. They would have no theft, no murder, no rape. And so Israel was called to be a light to the nations. Tragically, we've lost so much of that richness of the Christian story. We've lost the kind of business vision that Cadbury had. And it's become, often Christianity has become very introverted, inward-looking, only concerned about individuals and God. And I think that is a very big problem. So I get into trouble, John, from both atheists and from Christians by making these points.
Well, it's a relevant point in that the Bible itself makes that point. I mean, that wonderful line in Revelation about you're neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That Christianity has so disconnected itself from the reality of society that people say, why bother?
Well, I think, but I've just recently come back from, in Newcastle, that's in England, a few days ago. I led a conference about consumerism. I told many of the stories, and somebody I know then spoke about human trafficking, John. And he talked about the fact that there is an increasing problem of young girls being kidnapped or being led into a horrible life of enforced slavery as prostitutes. And this is happening in England. I don't know about Australia. But it's this issue of making people into things. We call this commodification. This is the biggest issue, I believe, today. When you reduce life to the economic, and I believe that's a consequence of secularism, when you absolutize the economic aspect, you then say everything is just there to be bought and sold. And this leads to problems like human trafficking. But it also leads to tremendous problems of insecurity. There are so many stories of people who feel desperately insecure about who they are. A few years ago, I was working as a supply teacher in a gym. And I walked into the gym, and there was a little boy there who was crying. And I went up to this boy, and I said, what's your name? And he said, Little Jimmy, sir. And I said, Little Jimmy, you know, why are you crying? He said, you know, sir, my trainers, they only cost I £20. And when I go outside, my friends will laugh at I, sir. I'll translate, but that's the Bristolian accent for Australian people. This boy was saying that his trainers were only costing him £20. And if he was to go outside, his friends would laugh and sneer at him because they weren't worth £100. Consumerism creates a society where we feel collectively deeply insecure about who we are.
Mark Rocks, the sort of values that you're talking about, I can hear a lot of people sort of resonating at home saying, yeah, that's right. But look, religion itself, Christianity itself, has lost the plot in terms of its capacity to deliver that sort of message in schools, either through its own internal contradictions or because it hasn't got the message right, it hasn't got the qualified people to do it. And the world is basically saying, we don't need you anymore. In England, it's removed from the baccalaureate. In Australia, schools are saying, we don't need RE teachers. They're hopeless at it anyway, and really religion's got nothing to do with our civilization. What's the way back?
Well, as I've said, I am actually, you know, I'm really passionately for an appropriate religious education, John. It's just that I want to see the focus changed. I want to have an RE where people can really talk about stories like George Cadbury. I earth all my teaching in real life stories. And so, for example, to get at consumerism, there's a wonderful story of a man who was walking along the streets in Bogota, and he saw a little girl, John, vanishing down a manhole into the sewers. He went home, got a wetsuit, and he went down into the sewers, John, and he discovered that there were 93 children living in the sewers, and one of them was pregnant. And this man single-handedly has rescued all of these children from the sewers, and he's taken them into the mountains where he's set up, and he's quite a wealthy man, a beautiful place for them to play, to have fun, to have, play football. Do you know, one of these girls that he's rescued that was living in the sewers is now playing the violin for the Colombian National Orchestra. What's tragic, though, is why those children were in the sewers in the first place. They were in the sewers, John, because when they were living on the pavements above, they were being shot at by off-duty policemen. And that's what's happening in parts of the world. Some of these people. They call these children the disposables. In Spanish, disposable people. And they are paid money to actually shoot these children. One of these hitmen actually said he left a calling card on a dead child, which said, "I've killed you because you are poor and worthless and you have no future." And the reason that I think this story is so important is I want young people to understand both stories. You've got the story of the man, Jaime Jaramillo, who's rescuing children from the sewers, but yet you've also got the worldview, the story in which the killers are living. And this is a story which reduces everything to the economic, as I've been saying. It's a story which makes money everything. And I want an RE, a form of religious education that helps young people to be discerning, to have worldview awareness, to understand the Christian story, but also to understand this secular consumerist story which people live in, and they basically end up making people into things, into economic objects.
Mark Rocks, it's been great to talk with you. Trust you have a good time for the rest of your stay in Australia, and
thank you
very much for joining us here on Sunday Night. This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. You can download your favourite Sunday Night interviews from our website at abc.net.au/Sunday Nights with an S. Thank you for listening.